97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, we will continue to update you guys on the poll results. You can find the poll on Twitter at @Pat_Egan. And right now, the poll is, let's see. Poll is at
50-50. Maybe I did change some minds. Who knows, Connor? Who knows? I'll give myself a little credit, though. But 50-50, and that's up from 60-40 on Wednesday before the Phillies outbreak happened. I think that did a large part to change some people's opinions. Because, and once again, I mean, I don't know what the rhyme or reason is, but it seems like all of these positive tests have come in at once, where I refuse to believe this outbreak just swept the country in the same week and hit all, you know, all of a sudden coronavirus woke up and decided, yeah, I'm going to hit sports this week. But something must have happened because the Texans got it, Cowboys got it, Phillies got it, Tampa Bay Lightning got it. I think a couple other teams had outbreaks in Major League Baseball, and they're switching their training facilities to, you know, their home base and their home cities there. But whatever the case may be, it doesn't really matter how they got it. The positive cases went up, and I think that might have changed some people's opinions to, okay, you know, you've got 10, 15 people in training facility right now, and there's an outbreak. What's going to happen when more people come back? Because, and I always said, you know, baseball's going to have a tough time. Football's going to have a really tough time. But I have stuck to the notion that I think football is the first sport back. I think basketball is probably to come back no matter what. I just worry when they do come back, there's going to be a positive. I mean, there's going to be an outbreak. How can there not be at this point? It you can take, as we talked about with one of the callers, you can take all the precautionary measures you want. It was Calvin. Calvin said you can take, you know, I was doing this and that, still got it. And that's the problem. So we'll continue to monitor that. And if you want to give me your opinion on whether you think we're coming back too soon from sports, 610-632-0975. And this is not to say that I don't want sports back. Selfishly, I want sports back. Okay. The selfish part of me, yes, is saying get out there and play for my entertainment. It's like the movie Gladiator. Are you not entertained? No, I'm not. Right now, I'm really not. So please get out there. I don't have movies. I don't have sports. I got nothing. Please, God, get out there. By the way, how do people do this that don't like sports? Like, there are people out there, and we all know at least a few, that don't like sports. And this, to them, nothing's really changed for them. Like, they kind of just go home, play video games. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Nothing at all wrong with that lifestyle. But as I sit back and I'm kind of forced to live that lifestyle, how do they do it? Because for me, time has become a flat. I can't believe it's June 21st. I wake up and don't know what day it is half the time because my calendar is so set to sports. You know, when I wake up during the week, I know, okay, Wednesday, the Sixers play, and Friday, the Phillies play. And I mean, fill in the blank, whatever it is. I know what day of the week it is by what game either was yesterday or is today. And now I wake up, half the time I don't even know what day it is when I wake up. I had to think. I had that panic in my brain when I wake up in the morning of, am I late for work? What am I doing today? What is my shift? Oh, okay, that's right, I'm off. Don't worry about it. I don't know how people live. It's just wild to me.
Yeah, and the first thing we do when we come home from work, put the game on. First thing you do, you said when you wake up, you're checking ESPN to see how the rest of the leagues did.
I mean,
like, what do you do when you wake up if you don't have sports going on? Because I haven't been doing anything these past 3 months.
I mean, I've been diving into television shows and working on my YouTube channel. But other than that, I mean, that's just to be productive. I mean, if I wanted to, I could just sit at home and, you know, burn through some video games or something. But, and there's nothing wrong with those people, that lifestyle. If you don't like sports, you don't like sports. But I think I'm pretty confident in saying, if you're listening to this program right now, you love sports. And I'm sure you want sports back. But at what cost? And if the cost is, yeah, okay, we're going to get sports back, but Nate Sudfeld is going to be your starter by week four because there was an outbreak, or even worse. I mean, I'm going to have to look it up. Who is that quarterback they signed from Arizona who was he's actually being converted to a wide receiver. But, you know, if you want Greg Ward to be your week four starting quarterback because there was an outbreak in the quarterback room, hey, let's get sports back. Let's go crazy. Now, nobody will legitimize that Super Bowl at all. But hey, Kyle Laletta, week five, step on down. You're the last one. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do this. I really don't. Because you're in a meeting room. You're going through film study. We've all watched Hard Knocks. When the coach addresses the team, it's in an auditorium and they're all sitting next to each other. How do you do that? Do you break the team up into two different groups? Do you separate the quarterbacks? Do you have team film studies? I don't know. But even then, and this is the whole point of my argument, you can take all the measures you want. It's probably still going to slip in there somehow. You're probably still going to get a case or two. Now, hopefully, there isn't an outbreak. Hopefully, I will be eating crow in a month or two or three, and we can all laugh about this, right? We can sit back and go, that Egan was, what a soy boy, or whatever the insult is, the latest insult. Is soy boy still a thing? Is that, Connor? You're up on this lingo.
That might be. I'm not up on this lingo, no. Yeah, sure, let's go with soy boy.
Snowflake.
Yeah.
Whatever the latest insult is, yeah, okay, we can call me that. Yeah, overly cautious, scared, whatever it is. You can call me all of that. I hope that I can sit back and go, yeah, no, I was. Huh. But hey, good thing we figured this thing out. I just don't think we have. And I think that's the scariest part to me, is that we haven't figured this thing out. We haven't flattened a curve. We are simply sitting back as a country and going, yeah, we gave it our best shot. It's been 100 days. Let's go. I mean, it's as if you're putting a souffle in the oven. The souffle is supposed to be 50, 60 minutes. But 30 minutes goes by and you're hungry. And you're done eating. I'm sorry, you're done waiting. You want to eat. And you go, you know what, it's been 30 minutes. I think we're good. Pull it out. What? No.
What?
You, no. Like, that's going to be awful. It's not done. And I think that's where we're at with the situation. When you look at all the charts of the curve, there is no curve. We haven't flattened anything. Now, in some states they have, as I talked about. Pennsylvania is one of three of 50 states that have flattened a curve. But even then, I you go on the cesspool that is Facebook, and you still have people sitting there acting like, oh, this is tyranny. You're asked to wear a mask. It's not that awful, all right? You're asked to wear a mask out in public. No one's asking to wear a mask in your house. You're just asked to wear a mask if you go out to Target. And even then, you've got people complaining about it. And you know you've got people, there's videos of guys that are refusing to wear masks to go get coffee because they're just standing their ground. And those are the people that are going to be the biggest problem, because you're not going to change their opinion. They're too hard-headed. And until they actually get the coronavirus and are infected by it, it's not like I'm wishing it upon anybody, but until they're affected by it personally, they're probably not going to change their opinion. Even then, they've probably gotten so much crap from their friends about not wearing a mask that they're just going to double down on it, because that's what we do in today's society. If you're wrong and you're proven you're wrong, you don't admit you're wrong. You just double down on it and keep hammering that point home. All right, moving on. Moving on to a sports issue. Jamal Adams. All right, let's talk about a player that the Eagles might trade for and then not be able to play with because of the coronavirus outbreak.
He's young, though, so he'll be around in 2023 when the NFL comes back.
He is young. All right, no, in all seriousness, if you do want to call about the coronavirus and the outbreak, and if you think sports is coming back too soon, by all means, I'd love to continue to take your call, 610-632-0975. But Jamal Adams wants out of New York badly. We know this. He wanted out of New York last year. It's one of the reasons why the Jets put him on the block and started fielding offers. I mean, you always field offers for a guy. If somebody calls for whoever, you're going to take the call. You're going to listen to what they have to say. You never know. He wanted out last year. They started fielding offers. They wanted a first and third round pick last year, two firsts. The price was ridiculous. And looking at what Jamal Adams would cost you now, I would think would be less. Would think. You have to give him a new deal. Is he worth it? Is he worth going out and getting? Now, the question is, really, what is he going to cost? Because we don't know. We don't know if it's a first and a third. We're speculating on that. We don't know if you add a player, what it could possibly be. But I'm telling you right now, if the price is Zach Ertz and a second, Zach Ertz and a third, by all means, make that move. Make that move. What worries me about this Eagles team is not their offense. What worries me about this Eagles team is their defense. Their defense is a problem, and not in a good way.
Not a way of people are scared of him. No, in a way of people were scared of him because of all the wrong reasons. Folks, we could play a game of Eagles linebacker or not, because that's how non-name recognizable the linebacking core for the Philadelphia Eagles is. I thought it was bad last year. I thought last year they were scraping the bottom of the barrel to get linebackers into the facility. And we all know that they haven't done a real good job at prioritizing the linebacking core. We know this. But right now, they have taken that one step further. And you've got guys like Ja'Tavis Brown, TJ Edwards, Duke Riley, Sean Bradley, and not the former Sixer center. Some dude named Dante Olsen, not going to pretend to know who he is. It's bad. The secondary is also pretty rough. Darius Slay locked down. Rodney McLeod is good, but he's been a little banged up. And then you've got Jalen Mills, who is flanked out to the strong safety position because they're trying to convert him. He's a hit-or-miss cornerback. Not great. But they're throwing him in a position that he hasn't played since college. Don't know how that's going to work out. Now, it could work out great. Let's not forget, he's replacing Malcolm Jenkins, who was a failed cornerback in New Orleans, and he was transferred over to safety in a last-ditch effort to save his career, and look what happened. He's become a really, really, really good safety. And the Eagles let him go, and they said, okay, well, we think we have maybe a guy who can do the same thing in Jalen Mills. But we don't know. It's one of the reasons they went out and they drafted Kayvon Wallace and they signed Will Parks as insurance. Because if Jalen Mills can't do the deal, then you figure Will Parks and Kayvon Wallace will fit in. But it amazes me that they took a cornerback who played on the outside when they already have issues with outside cornerbacks and they put him to the safety position. So if you can go out there and you could trade for Jamal Adams, get him in, put Jalen Mills back on the outside, or at least contend for an outside spot with Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, I would be all for that, because it's shoring up another position that I have huge, massive question marks with this Eagles defense. And what scares me the most is the fact that this division has really, really good wide receivers. The Dallas Cowboys did not need CeeDee Lamb. We all know that. You know what they did? They went out and they drafted CeeDee Lamb. I don't necessarily think it was because they knew the Eagles wanted CeeDee Lamb. I think it was because the possibility of having such a dynamic, explosive offense was too enticing for them. I also think they felt like if we can go out there and stock the cupboard of weapons for Dak, then maybe he will finally sign an extension, albeit a large extension. What also scares me, the fact that Jamal Adams has listed 8 teams that he is willing to go to. And the best part is, hey, folks, the Eagles are one of them. Problem is, the Cowboys are also one of them. And remember how we felt last season, last trade deadline, for about an hour there, where it looked like the Cowboys had traded for Jamal Adams. Wasn't a good feeling. Was not a good feeling. Now, the 8 teams that Jamal Adams would welcome a trade to, according to Adam Schefter: the Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. They're pretty much all contenders, including the Eagles. But here's what scares me. Not just if the Cowboys trade for him, which I actually don't think the Cowboys will. I think they'll try to make a move, but Jamal Adams is entering the last year of his contract. Whatever team trades for him is going to want to sign him to an extension. So can the Cowboys even afford him because of the fact they haven't signed Dak to an extension? You know, with all of Howie Roseman's faults, they don't have a Howie Roseman in the building, a capologist who can really maneuver the cap in a way that Howie can. I never worry about Howie Roseman with the cap. Literally everything else I worry about with Howie Roseman. The cap issue, never even a thought with me. He'll maneuver some deals. He'll rob Peter to pay Paul. Yes, eventually you're going to have to pay the Piper, but in the moment, doesn't really concern me. But when you look at this list, it is a who's who of who you would contend with to get to the Super Bowl. I think the Eagles are a Super Bowl contender. And I say that because I think they're a playoff team. And any team in the playoffs is a Super Bowl contender. I think too many times we hear the reference Super Bowl contender as a Super Bowl favorite. Are the Eagles a Super Bowl favorite right now? Absolutely not. Are they a contender? Yeah, because I think they're a playoff team. And if you're in the playoffs, you're a contender. Can Jamal Adams make them a better team? Can he get them closer to the Super Bowl? Yes, I think he can. What would it cost is the question. Now, I think when they drafted Dallas Goedert, they were looking at it as, for a couple years, we can have a two tight end set. We can add a weapon to Carson Wentz's offense. And we can be a very dynamic threat with two pass-catching tight ends and make some noise. With that, all of that said, though, I think also they were thinking, this will afford us the luxury of moving on from Zach Ertz and getting a haul. Zach Ertz happens to be 29 years old. When the Saints traded Jimmy Graham to the Seattle Seahawks, he was 29 years old. They got a first-round pick in Max Unger, who is an elite-level center. And you know that teams do not like giving up offensive linemen. They gave up a really good one. They got a haul for the best tight end in the game. Now, Zach Ertz isn't necessarily the best tight end in the game, but he's probably top three. At worst, top five. I would love to hear who the four in front of him are, but I think he's top three. Behind Kittle, behind Travis Kelce. But he's up there. He's elite. And if you're the Jets, who you don't have a lot of weapons for your young quarterback in Sam Darnold, Zach Ertz is probably an enticing name to you. Especially when you look at the tight end position that they currently have. If you think the linebacking core of the Eagles is a bunch of who are they's, go look at the tight end core of the Jets. It is awful. It's and I'm pulling it up right now. You've got Christopher Herndon IV, Ryan Griffin, Daniel Brown.
Who?
It's a bunch of who's.
Who?
A fourth round pick from 2018. Some free agent they signed from San Francisco that no one's ever heard of. An undrafted free agent. I mean, these aren't exactly weapons. Right now, the receiving core is the second round pick in Denzel Mims, Jamison Crowder, Breshad Perriman. Those aren't exactly world beaters. I'm sure that Sam Darnold is sitting there going, I don't really care about Jamal Adams personally because he doesn't play on my side of the ball. Yeah, I'll take Zach Ertz. I will gladly take Zach Ertz. But is it worth it to make that move? Is it worth it to you if, hypothetically speaking, the trade were Zach Ertz and, let's say, a third-round pick, is that something you would be interested in? Because I certainly would. And also, here's another thing you have to think of. The leverage of the New York Jets is waning by the day. Because every team is worried that a disgruntled player will pull a Trent Williams and simply just sit out. Say, it's not worth it. Retire early. Especially a hard-hitting safety. It's got to think about CTE and concussions. I'm sure his agent is sitting there going, we have all the leverage. And you know what? They do. So no team wants to sit back and become the Washington Redskins that traded Trent Williams for basically nothing. An elite level left tackle, which, mind you, I really wanted and did a whole show about trading for, saying that he wouldn't go for much and he didn't. I mean, this was a top five left tackle in the game. Granted, hadn't played in a year because he sat out. With a top five left tackle went for virtually nothing. So I'm sure the Jets, knowing that the situation with Jamal Adams cannot be salvaged, are probably wanting to get that deal done, are probably manning the phones right now, and are probably trying to capitalize and get some value before training camp hits, he sits out. Before games hit, and he sits out. Because if he's sitting out, they've lost pretty much all leverage whatsoever. And a first and a third goes out the window immediately. First and a third? That's a joke. You're not spending a first and a third round pick for a disgruntled player. No shot. Especially a guy going in the last year of his deal. I mean, look at what Jadeveon Clowney went for, folks. Right? He was the guy last year. Jadeveon Clowney was the player that we did shows on. Can Jadeveon Clowney get this team to the Super Bowl? 6-1-0. He went for nothing. And it was a similar situation where the Jadeveon Clowney trade was, do we have to trade a second round pick? Maybe a first? Does that get it done? It was Jacob Martin, Temple's finest, by the way, Barcavius Mingo, and a third round pick. the hole was nothing. The reason being, he was going into the last year of his deal and everybody knew he wanted to get paid. So the Eagles can play this out in two ways. They can trade for him without a deal and not offer much because of the fact that he doesn't have a deal. Or they can simply say, we'll give you something, but we want to negotiate with him in a long-term contract. That would be the most ideal situation because he's so young. That'd be the route that I would go. If they want to risk it, fine. I want it. But he's 24 years old. He turns 25 during the season. And this is the player that they've been looking for really since Brian Dawkins left. I mean, they did a pretty good job of shoring up the safety position when they signed Malcolm Jenkins and they signed Roddy McLeod. And it's been on lock for a while there. I mean, those are two stalwarts you don't really have to worry about. Cornerback position, on the other hand, don't even get me started. But Jamal Adams infinitely makes his secondary better with a wide receiving group in your division that is tough. Tough. I have visions of the Cowboys wide receivers running roughshod all over the Eagles secondary. And Darius Slay can only cover one guy at a time. And the Cowboys are going to be the team that you're fighting for the division. So yeah, I would like to get somebody in that secondary that can play instead of going in there with a massive question mark on Jalen Mills. And I think that if you were to call them up and offer Zach Ertz, yeah, initially they're going to want more. But as the days tick by, I think they might come around to thinking, all right, maybe Zach Ertz in a third, maybe Zach Ertz in a fourth. Yeah, maybe that's probably our best option. And the final thing that worries me is simply one name, Howie Roseman. Because Howie now has this aura about him that he is Trader Howie because in the early stages of his career, he was prone to trades. No one liked trading more than him. The stats are the stats, right? He's the most active GM. But in the last couple of years, that has not been the case. Especially when you hear what guys go for. And we've gotten wrapped up so much into believing that if Howie Roseman isn't striking a deal, then it was too much. But then you hear what guys like Jadeveon Clowney go for. You hear what Hopkins goes for when he's traded from the Houston Texans. And you go, Howie, what were you doing? We could have afforded that. What the hell are you doing? Last year during the trade deadline, when you're waiting to see what Howie does, what he makes a move for, and he trades for the legend that is Jannard Avery. And you go, really? That's it? I shaved my chest for this? You're going to trade for Jannard Avery and that's going to be, and then on top of it, that's the name you're going to sell me after the trade deadline. You're going to actually sit here and sell me that Jannard Avery, who I think suited up for three games with the Eagles, can actually play and you're excited about him. So I think we've gotten so wrapped up into, well, Trader Howie this and Trader Howie that. Trader Howie went away when they won the Super Bowl. He went out the window, and maybe it's because he got burned a little bit with the Golden Tate trade. And I'll give him credit, by the way, for the Darius Slay trade. But too many times we've gotten wrapped up into, this move makes sense. Howie, go get him. And we're confident. We have the faith that Howie will do it. And I sit back and go, not really, not lately. For me, not lately. So I do worry that if Jamal Adams gets traded, the price won't be nearly as much as we think. It would be an affordable price to, I think, a lot of fans out there. And the Eagles won't be the team. But the main question is, Zach Ertz, are you willing to part with him in a possible Jamal Adams trade? 610-632-0975. Sean and Charles, just sit tight. I'm going to get to you both on the other side. It's Patty again with you until 12 o'clock on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
And then not too far long ago, when life was straight up and cars would move slow, when you were cool.
So Connor just alerted me during the break to this And I'm going to say this before I get to Sean, who wants to talk about the coronavirus thing and whether we're coming back from sports. Connor was alerting me to, we got a caller. Connor, do you just want to tell the people what this guy happened to say?
Yeah, so I'm just going to give an example of...
Yeah, give a Cliff Notes version. This rational guy?
Yeah, very, very rational.
Which, by the way, we appreciate him listening. I'm sure he's not anymore, but we appreciate him. I hope he is, actually. But
yeah, but absolutely. Listen, call in, give us your perspective. But if your interpretation of what me and Mr. Egan have been talking about so far this show has been that as long as you wear a mask, you can do whatever you want. Kill, loot, pillage.
This is amazing to me. I was on the topic of is sports are coming back too soon for about an hour and 20 minutes, and I'll still sprinkle it in here, all right, which obviously like Sean wants to talk about. I honestly don't understand how you could have heard anything I said, and your takeaway from that isn't whether sports is coming back too soon or appropriately timed, but your main takeaway is that I was, giving the okay to loot as long as you're wearing a mask. No, I think it's okay if you go into Wawa as long as you're wearing a mask. I'm just begging people to keep wearing masks and doing all the right things to protect me out there, protect you. But
and even then, we're pretty much saying even if you wear a mask, it's still pretty dangerous out there to do anything.
Even if you do all that. We had Calvin call up who got the coronavirus, who said, I was doing everything. I was wearing masks on my feet. His words, not mine. Still got it. But once again, man, people are going to hear what they want. So it cracks me up, though, that was his takeaway was, oh, okay, so if you're wearing a mask, we can do whatever you want? Yeah, that was it. Okay, thanks. Thanks for chiming in. Once again, man, people are just going to hear what they want. Let's go to Sean, though, on the cell, who wants to talk about whether sports are coming back too soon. What's up, Sean?
Yeah, first off, if I wear a mask, I can do anything I damn well please. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go. Yeah, I mean,
I'm teasing. Great show, as always.
Appreciate it.
When I'm usually on, on the road on a Sunday, but great show. Really enjoy. And normally I don't call in because I like listening to sports. I'm not super expert on anything except vaguely hockey, but, so I love listening to your, breakdown, but the COVID thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't.
Sean, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just saying like 85% of your sports talk, I agree with because your guys are smart. You got it. I like your analysis. But for COVID, I don't know. I think maybe there's your opening statement, I just have to say it. I don't know if I agree with it. I'm not sure if I should say you're nuts or, there might be something in the middle ground. I think it's more in the middle ground. I love sports, but I also want to wear a mask. I think that we have to put sports on pause just for a bit so that we learn how to manage this. I do, even if this one isn't exactly as deadly, it still can teach us for the next one. That's all I'm saying.
Well, then
go ahead.
I was going to say, then what did you disagree with? Because I think we're on the same page with that one.
Okay. I thought the sports lovers were, I thought you said, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but you said, if you love sports, you want them back out there. COVID's not that big a deal. No,
I think my exact thing was if you love sports out there, you probably want it back. And there are people out there that love sports and simply don't think it's a big deal. And I think selfishly, we might sit back and go, yeah, okay, I want sports back no matter what. But once you're able to take a step back as just a human, you go, okay, yeah, but is it actually safe? And am I getting the product that I was accustomed to before the coronavirus? So, yeah, in a way, I did say that, but I was also saying that when you're able to take a step back, you probably are coming to the conclusion that maybe it's a little too soon. Whether you agree with the fact that it's too soon or not, you're probably coming to the conclusion that it's worth a conversation to at least have, is it too soon to come back or not? But
I agree. Selfishly,
if it comes back, I'm watching. Whether I think it's safe or not, I'm still watching the product. And I think that's where I was coming back with, if you like sports, you probably want it back.
Oh, no question about it. But I think we have to be prepared that the product isn't going to be exactly the same in order to accommodate the whatever policies might be around COVID-19 to protect the people who are playing the game, most importantly, and also the people going to a game.
Yeah, and Sean, I appreciate the phone call, man. And I think that's the big thing there, is that it's not going to be how we had it before the coronavirus. And at that point, I think a lot of people out there want sports to come back because it's a feeling of normalcy. But if it's coming back and, you know, your whole linebacking core, although the Eagles really wouldn't matter, but their whole linebacking core is decimated by the coronavirus. And by decimated, I mean, you know, you can track the coronavirus, you're quarantined. You got to call up a bunch of people from the practice squad who necessarily aren't great, aren't NFL caliber players, probably on fringe XFL guys. That's not an ideal situation. That's not normalcy because we've never dealt with this situation before. Nobody that is around right now was probably around, I'm guessing. And if you are, more power to you. God bless you. But probably, I'm guessing, nobody listening right now is around for the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, the pandemic. And that was Stanley Cup. And it was always amazing to me growing up knowing that they had actually canceled the Stanley Cup at one point. They actually sat back and said, we have to end this. And I always thought, before this coronavirus hit, I always thought, man, what would it take to actually cancel a championship? Especially now, with the amount of money that is in sports, what would it take? I guess we're finding it out. Because I don't know if anything. I think they would just keep pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back. And there's a chance that we could go a year straight and then we pick up the season, which is wild to think about. But I just don't think, because of everything that, you know, Sean laid out there, I don't think that we're prepared right now to come back. And yeah, as a sports fan, selfishly, I sit back and go, yeah, I want you back. But I know it's probably not the best timing. I know we're probably not prepared. We can write a 113-page memorandum on safety protocols. But if you read that 113-page the memorandum, which I did not, okay, I just did the Cliff Notes version thanks to Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania from The Athletic, who broke down in all the bullet points. And one of the bullet points was that if a larger than expected number of positive coronavirus tests hits, then they will talk about once again postponing the season. So that right there tells me that they're expecting positive tests to hit. How could you not? But they're not really laying out how many positive tests would it take to once again postpone or even cancel the season. We don't have that number. I'm sure it's in their head, but at what point is it enough? You know, where is the line? At what point do we sit back and go, hey, half a team has been decimated by the coronavirus. Do we pull the plug? The Lakers, the Milwaukee Bucks, because I think no matter how you come back from this thing, it's not going to be normal.
Yeah, so what's the expanded roster for NBA down in Florida? What, like 14, 15?
So, yeah, I think so.
So you have 8 people in the Phillies organization in Clearwater that got hit by the outbreak. 5 players, 3 staff. So let's just call it 8 and say, for example, that 8 of those are all players on an NBA team. That's more than half the team. They're gone. We just found out that just in a day, bang, just like that, a team's gone. They can't play anymore. You can't play with less than half of your team down there. And that news broke just like a lightning bolt. Just immediately, we know now that 8 new people have it. You can't continue a league under those circumstances, even if it happens to one team, especially in the NBA instance where they're going into basically a playoff format. I mean, if the Lakers have 8 players, they're the number 1 overall seed in the West, and they have 8 players, and they're done. You just can't hold playoffs under those circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, if, and to your point, if LeBron James gets coronavirus, if Giannis gets coronavirus, and whoever wins the championship, I don't care. But whoever wins the championship, is anyone going to look at that championship as legit? No, maybe people will look at it like, hey, it's nothing different than someone tearing their Achilles. You know, Kevin Durant coming back, tearing his Achilles, no different than that. Maybe you'll look at it like that. But I'll look at it like, no, it's not legit because you rushed back when you weren't prepared. When we weren't ready as a country for sports, you rushed back because it made the most monetary sense for you to come back. Didn't make any more sense to wait any longer, right? And that's my point with this whole thing. These leagues wanting to come back has nothing to do with your entertainment. They're going to say that. They're going to say all the right things. That's why they have a PR staff. They didn't have a PR staff, and we actually heard their actual thoughts. It would be ugly. But the PR staffs are spinning this as to, we want to have the American people have a sense of normalcy. We want the American people to get sports back. No. Stop. It's ridiculous. You know what they want? Money.
They want the TV revenue. They want the dollars. That's what they want. They don't want to give that up. That's why they're coming back. That's why. It has nothing to do with you, the fan. Okay, it really doesn't. I hate to break that to you. I don't think you really matter to them. I don't. Not when they have lucrative TV deals and they've already accepted the fact that they're going to hold games without fans. You are out of sight, out of mind to them. They care about one thing. Still being able to cash in on their TV revenue. That's it. It's all they care about. That's why they're coming back. That's why they're not waiting. So they can put out all of these memos, protocols, fill in the blank. And it could be a 200-word, you know, doctrine. But as I said, you know, what we learned from the Eagles last season, looking good on paper only takes you so far. And when the Phillies outbreak hit Clearwater, that had me take a step back. And I was already on favor of it's too early to come back. And that's when it really hammered at home of, hold the phone. This is one outbreak of a few outbreaks recently. It's too soon. Jamal Adams. Charles in the Northeast wants to talk about it. I'm going to get to you on the other side. Zach Ertz for Jamal Adams. Is Jamal Adams worth giving Zach ups for? Jesus. Is Jamal Adams worth giving up Zach Ertz for? There we go. Thank you. It's Pat Egan with you until noon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Crazy story that came out of the Dakotas. I don't know which Dakota it is. South Dakota. I feel like it's South Dakota because I think Dallas Goedert went to South Dakota State. I believe he did. 95.
Yeah, it was South
sure.
Dakota.
Yeah, the Jackrabbits. He gets sucker punched at a restaurant by just some rando. What is wrong with people? Well, what the hell is wrong with people nowadays? And I'm not just saying this because it's Dallas Goedert, an Eagles player. I'm just saying this because who the hell just walks up to somebody and sucker punches them? Goddard goes to the hospital. He'll be evaluated. I'm sure he'll be fine in the long run. And if they open up training camp, okay. But seriously, what are we doing here, folks? I know a lot of you guys out there think this. You're with me on this. You think that's absolute. I actually question the people that would disagree with me.
No, this is on us. We said if you're wearing a mask, you can do anything,
right,
including sucker punching the tight end on
Connor,
the
Eagles. When you're right, you're right. I mean, that's clearly what I said at 9, I believe it was 9:24. I gave the okay to do that. No, it's ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. But as we talk about the tight end position, I think the Zach Ertz name is one that will be bantied around during trade discussions. My big hesitation to make a move, though, would be Dallas Goedert, honestly. Because I don't think Dallas Goedert made nearly the jump that I thought he was going to make last year. Statistically, Dallas Goedert did make a jump. He had an okay year, nice year. I think statistically he was like top 10 in the league in reception yards and all that. But when you actually watch the games, I remember so many games where he dropped very catchable balls. And that's not like Dallas Goedert. That's not like him at all. He came into the league as a sure-handed tight end.
Yeah, and I agree with you there with the drops, but I think part of his production, like, he could have made a bigger jump, but when you look at the Eagles roster last year, and more what they ended up being, not what they put out against the Redskins in the home opener, but you look at a team that had no wide receivers, you're playing with practice squad guys, and as a defense, you're already coming in looking at a Zach Ertz, and you think that's their guy, that's the guy I'm going to take away. So, therefore, you're naturally set up to be able to defend Dallas Goedert as well. And they're preparing for 12 personnel because we heard all offseason how they love to run 12 and they're going to run 12 and they're going to have that two tight end set. So I think this year with the adding to the receiver court, we'll see how good the players they added are going to be. if you have a little bit more open of a game plan, I think you're going to see that jump from Goddard.
I would hope. And you look at last season, and you just talked about the lack of receivers that they had. You sit back and you go, okay, why wasn't he involved more in the offense? Once again, statistically, you look at it, 607 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's a nice season. Probably should have been more, though, considering the fact that they had a guy named Rob Davis catching passes for them. Who? Robbie D? Probably should have had more than 600 yards. So I worry about his level of impact last season. Now, I think that was an anomaly. I think he'll be back. I'm not really so much worried about, you know, this is a trend for him. I think it was just a few bad games or whatever. But I think his lack of taking that jump is one of the reasons why maybe they're hesitant to trade as Zach Ertz. Because Zach Ertz is Carson Wentz's safety blanket.
Let me ask you, though, do you see the, outside of the numbers, outside of what you expected him to do last year and what the Eagles had to deal with offensive weapons, do you see the ability in Dallas Goedert's play to be, let's say, a top five tight end in the NFL?
No, I do. I mean, I thought he was the second best tight end in the division last year. Going into the season, I thought he was the second best tight end in the division. So I think Evan Ingram is the second best tight end now.
Yeah, you move on from Ertz then. You give that production to Goddard, at least the targets. And let's say he's a step down. But a top three tight end, especially in today's game, sure, it's nice to have. You just saw Kansas City win the Super Bowl with, arguably, the Super Bowl was the top two tight ends in football. But that's not necessarily the rule in the NFL. You can get away with, if you have a top five or six tight end, that's a huge part of your offense. You can build a championship team around that. So why hang on to Zach Ertz a luxury potentially when you have another top five, top six tight end in the league sitting in the wings?
And I'm gonna get to Charles in the Northeast about this in a minute. But in 610-632-0975, I think the problem is that while I'm excited to see how this Eagles wide receiving core does this upcoming season, because of the speed they added, because of a healthy DeSean Jackson, you still don't know how they're gonna do. You know, did they add speed? Yes. Did they add the right speed is the question. I'm not buying into Quez Watkins. I'm sorry. There's a reason why these guys were drafted in the fifth and sixth rounds. I'm not buying into Marquise Goodwin. I'm sorry. I'm not buying into them because we don't know. It's not like they have this amazing Tim Hightower, this amazing level of productivity. They're fast, but so was Brandon Gibson. So was Bryce Treggs. They all had speed. They couldn't play. They couldn't get open. So do you have the luxury to go out and trade his biggest safety blanket in Zach Ertz? Probably not. Because I would expect Dallas Goedert to take a giant step if he was the number one, you know, unquestioned tight end. But are you willing right now on this offense to take away a weapon as big as Zach Ertz? I don't know. I don't know if you have the faith in Jalen Reagor to step up and make an impact immediately. Do you have the faith in Greg Ward Jr. to be a slot receiver a full season? Do you have any faith whatsoever that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can actually play in this league? I certainly do not. DeSean Jackson being healthy and expecting 16 games out of him is kind of foolish. So do they have the luxury of being able to move on from Zach Ertz? Because it does weaken your offense, and you expect that offense will, I mean, it's probably going to have to carry your team. That's a question. Let's go to Charles in the Northeast. Charles, you're on the Fanatic.
How you doing, Pat?
Good, Charles. How are you?
Pat, always great hearing you. I want Jamal Adams, but I want him in my place. I'm not trading Zach Ertz. No, you can't afford a trade. Listen, I think Jaden Reagor, Pat, is actually going to be a really good receiver.
I agree.
And I think Deshaun's going to be back. The offense is going to be better. I'm not trading one of the top three tight ends in football for safety. Now, and here's one of the biggest myths that float around Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio, that the Eagles got to get this guy or that guy to beat out the Cowboys. They don't. See, the Eagles are a better team than the Cowboys. They beat them out two of the last 3 years with an injury-ravaged, depleted roster, and they'll beat them out again this year. Now, do the Eagles need Jamal Adams to beat out the 49ers and Saints? Probably. So am I willing to put Dallas Goedert and a second-round pick on the table for Jamal Adams and link and lock him up to a long-term deal? Yeah, I'm willing to do that, Pat. But I'm not willing to put my best tight end, the best tight end in Eagles history, still a top three tight end in the game.
Yep.
No, I can't do it. Now, let me say this also. about sports coming back. Sports, I think after what happened at the Phillies facility and what happened at the Tampa Bay Lightning facility, they had a couple guys get hit with it. So the thing is, Pat, I think we've all, listen, you know, nobody loves sports more than me. You know, I love sports. I've been calling the station for years. But I think we've got to come to the understanding sports ain't coming back until the NFL at the earliest. Baseball's not coming back. Hockey and basketball are not coming back. And I still had the hope. But when I saw what happened at the Phillies facility, when I saw what happened at the Lightning facility, it just dawned on me. These sports, just pack it in, come back next year. Listen, I want the NFL to come back this year. But I think all the other sports, I think just they'll put it on the shelf and hopefully you can come back in the fall. But right now, you can't complete them seasons, Pat. It can't be done right now, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and Charleston, thanks for the phone call, man. I really appreciate it. And I agree. I think it's just too soon. And I posed this question to Devon about a month ago. Are you willing to do all these safety protocols that you necessarily don't like doing, i.e. wearing a mask out in public? It's a nuisance to everybody. My glasses are constantly fogging up when I take off the mask. You know, the mask gets caught in my glasses, and now it's a whole mess. I'm not a huge fan of it. But are you willing to go through all the safety protocols to make sure you do have football in the fall? Because that's kind of the question. Because if you're one of those people out there that doesn't want to do the safety protocols, hey, I'm probably not going to convince you otherwise. I can try. But at the end of the day, you're going to do what you want to do. But if you're going to do that, just know that there are more people like you. They're going to add up. And because of that, we're probably not going to get sports back anytime soon. Because the positive tests keep going up. The more you test, the more positive tests you're going to find. And I think a lot of people like Charles saw what happened in the Philly situation and said, I don't know now. Because now it's local. Now it hit home. Now it's no longer out of sight, out of mind, Texans, Cowboys. Now it's the home team. And you go, oh. And when you take a step back and break it down, which we'll do on the other side, you go, I don't know. Now, Charles also said that he wants Jamal Adams, not for Zach Ertz. What about you? Would you trade for Jamal Adams knowing that the cost would be Zach Ertz? Is that worth it to you? 610-632-0975. It's Pat Egan with you until noon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.